Again, we're talking about lining up with God's Word to receive healing. Last teaching last week, we were, you know, dealing with the areas now really that has to do is what are we doing after the fact that when we followed what the Scripture says, we have believed that it's God's will for us to be well. We believe that God is a giver and He's going to give us good things. And we found out God wants to give us healing. That's His purpose. He wants us to be healed. We look through the Scripture, God's will, He wants to heal us. How does He do it? We found out that one of the ways He does it, one of the major ways was the laying on of hands. But what happens when hands are laid on me or anything, or whether even if we're receiving just through the Word, believing the Word. But when we pray, believe we'll receive, or the time that we're praying, prayed for, or we pray for ourselves. We're supposed to believe we receive when we pray. And I've had many people come up to this point, and they're acting in line with the Word of God. At the time that they pray, they believe they receive it. But really, after that, then they lose, really, the fight. The Bible talks about our fight is a good fight of faith. And the reason it's a good fight of faith is because, see, when we prayed, we were to believe we receive. Like in Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Them when? At the time that you pray. You believe you receive them things that you prayed for. So if it was healing, you believe at that time that you receive it. Now, in other words, at that point, you believe that God has given it to you, not that God is going to give it to you. This is where most people, if they're going to miss it, they miss in prayer at that point. They're praying, and now that's like the people, before we started here, when I gave you the example with Kenneth Hagin, and the woman said, well, we know God touched her, but now let's pray for him to heal her. Well, she did not believe, they prayed again. They did not believe that she received and it's received. They believed, oh, God touched her, but He didn't heal her. Well, they didn't pray for God to touch her. They prayed for God to heal her. Well, wouldn't you think a woman who was on death's door, you know, that she might be a little weak? The doctor said it's passed. Well, they expected her to, be instantly up walking around and things like that. Well, you know, that'd be nice. A lot of times people don't have no faith for that kind of stuff. In fact, Kenneth Hagin had talked about that. I heard, you know, about instantaneous miracles and healings and different things. Kenneth Hagin said lots of times people don't even have faith for that kind of stuff. You know, people can believe to recover, but they can't believe for instantaneous miracles. They can't believe for it. In other words, there's levels, different levels of faith that we have to learn to walk in. Well, but the whole thing of it is, I mean, the doctor even told him, you know, wow, this thing's really turned around. This woman ain't going to die. You know, she's going to, and the church just couldn't wait to get over there to kill her. They started praying and killed her. Well, I'll tell you, it's your story, wonderful. Hallelujah. And the Lord said that they removed her from my hands. In other words, you can put things in God's hands and you can remove things from God's hands. Well, we find out sometimes this is where people operate. People really come to the place they believe they receive it. But what happens is really the things start happening after that point takes place. I believe I receive it. And what happens is when people walk away, you're always going to have this is where the enemy and your flesh is always going to try to get you to go over to the and start judging things by the natural side, by what you see, feel, taste, touch. That's what he's going to do. He's always going to try to take you there. Your flesh, your own flesh, isn't that where it wants to live? Your own flesh, you know, the flesh don't like living this unseen stuff. Flesh like seeing. But I found this over time. If you really, you can get good at this thing where your inner man becomes strong, you can subdue the outer man. We know that you can because the Holy Spirit in you is supposed to be able to work to do that. In Romans, the 8th chapter, says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living you. It'll make alive your mortal body. Your mortal body can be quickened to obey what it can't see. If you will allow it to. But that's something that happens from the inside, not the outside. But your flesh is going to want to go over that way, but you have to learn to walk in faith and let the spirit that's in you subdue this outer man from always trying to follow after things. Now, you're always going to have, there's going to be somebody, the devil will send somebody along. Now, sometimes Satan might come to you and say something to you that might specifically, you know, you get it, you hear this, you know, hear this in your head. Well, you know, well, if you were really healed, you wouldn't be feeling as bad as you are. You probably didn't get nothing. You know, that's the things that will come along and start to question. will start coming to your thoughts will come to your mind. Sometimes individuals will come and try to talk you out of it. Individuals will come and all they want to do is talk about what your problem is and what that's what they want to do. I mean, people love to talk about bad things. They love it. Christians love to talk about bad stuff. They love to talk about sickness and disease, bad weather, or anything else under the sun. You know, they're out here praying for good weather or talking bad weather. Well, it ain't happening. You know what I mean? Because people do. That we're drawn toward that side. Now, that doesn't mean we can never say anything about certain things, but we have to watch how we speak about them, because if we magnify the problem, don't be surprised it diminishes our belief or our faith. It'll diminish it. So we need to understand it, how we magnify that thing. You know, the thought will come to you after you prayed. You know, you didn't really get anything when you prayed, did you? You didn't get anything. Did you feel it? I didn't feel a thing. You know, out there. Or you know what? You get this thing. At the time you prayed, you felt the power of God go in you. You wake up the next morning, you don't feel like no power's in you. And immediately, you begin to do it. Now, I want to think about this. We take a pill. You know, I don't know about you, but if I put a pill in my mouth and I took some water and down, I could feel that pill, you know, in my mouth, and I could feel swallowing it. But after I do that, I don't feel nothing. That pill, I say, I can feel it. It's right here, over here in my stomach. Right there it is. Right there. I can feel it laying there. Yeah, there it is. Oh, it's starting to dissolve now. Starting to dissolve. I can feel it. No, you don't feel none of that, do you? But you know what? We do that. We have become faith in that kind of thing, of how we feel about those things and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to God, we have a hard time about that, maintaining the areas of believing that the power of God is in us working. And that's hugely important, is the fact of, we need to understand this. Our faith either keeps the power of God activated in us working, or it shuts it off. You know, you can start off with having it activated in you, but over time, shut it down by beginning to lose faith in what you were believing when you started off. And what happens? The power of God is there. It's almost like taking a pill for something, and you take the pill for it, but the pill starts to dissolve and release itself, but all of a sudden it stops and don't release itself into you. In a sense, you can do that with your faith concerning the power of God working in you. It starts to work. It's just like the people, when I talked about that story, the lady, the power of God was working in her, healing her body. And the people saying, oh, no, it's not. We got to pray for her healing. What they did was they just shut that off. They just shut the power of God off. It was working in her. They just turned it off. They turned that power off by doing that. That power was in her working, and they just turned it off. And so we need to understand that power goes into your body, whether you feel it or not, is into your body. We lay hands on the sick, they recover. They recover. So, in other words, we can expect an individual to recover. In other words, it's no difference than taking, from the standpoint, the idea of taking medicine. We maintain that it went into us and it is working. So, if that thought comes to us, well, I didn't get anything, well, you need to understand that question is not going against the thought of whether God wants you to heal you or not. It's not coming against that thought. So, in other words, you got to understand where whatever thought comes to me, I have to understand where it's coming from. Because we have a belief. We believe certain things, and then we come to the point where we believed when hands were laid on us, the power of God was going. It was God's will to heal us. He gave me healing power. I received it. Now I must maintain that belief all the time. That's my job, is to maintain that belief. This is where people lose it. They lose it because they start thinking other thoughts. They start thinking other things. They begin to start thinking over in other areas, and really, all that will happen will try to move you away from believing that God's a giver. He gave you healing. The healing power went into you when hands were laid on you. Or when you prayed and believed you receive it, it went into you. That is what you have to continue to maintain and believe. Anything that comes against is going to try to move you off of one of those points. Is to move you off the idea of either, you would feel better if God didn't give it to you. Well, hold it. You have to maintain then that area of faith that God did give me healing. That it is God's will for me to be healed. You have to know. You have to be able to stand. So, But the purpose, always understand this, the things that come against you are going to come against you to make you believe you didn't get anything. That you didn't get nothing. So, really, what you have to do, and you have to do this immediately, and this is what people don't do. If you're not a, if you're a person that waits 6 months before you say anything, you're going to lose the faith fight all the time. If you're going to sit around and not learn to use your voice, you need to do, when opposition comes against your faith, when anything comes against your faith, you must immediately begin to defend your faith. You have to defend your faith. If you don't, you're going to lose the battle. In a sense, really, this is where we pull the sword out. This is where we get the sword out. Because, understand, you're going to have to stand your ground. Remember what Paul said when writing over the Ephesians in the 6th chapter? Paul talked about putting on the armor of God. He said, when you've done everything, stand. Well, to stand, you stand. In other words, now, when you tend, you believe, it's time to do the stand. Now, you're going to have to stand on what you have believed. That's what you're standing on. You're standing on what you said you believe. This is what most people do. The devil, his whole thing is going to try to move you off of what you believe. And he's good at it, because most people fall for it. Most people, even spirit-filled people, fall for it. As soon as opposition comes against what they believe, they start their confession of how they feel and this and that. They start into their things and they start saying wrong things. They move off of their faith. They move off of what they believe. Lots of times they're just trying to stand. If you're not going to use your voice, you ain't standing. You will not stand. You'll never make it. You'll never make it. You got to use your voice. Your voice is the sword. If Jesus Christ's sword is the words from his mouth, then your sword's the same. You need to understand that. You know, Jesus Christ returns. The Bible talks about his return to set up his kingdom. He's going to destroy those nations that are up against, that are coming against him. It says with the sword from his mouth. You got to talk. Your sword's your mouth. If you don't use your mouth, if you're not a talker, I've heard people say to me, well, I just not like that to talk. Well, then you're going to stay sick. You're going to stay messed up. If you're not, you're going to listen to the devil, because God didn't design you not to be a talker. He gave you a voice to use, and you better use it. And you better use it properly to defend your faith. See, the battle about faith is defending your faith. If you haven't come to faith, you ain't got nothing to defend. Many people are trying to say, well, you know, they're standing, they're bad faith battle. I said this last week, they're in a faith battle. They ain't no faith battle. They hadn't believed nothing yet. They have not come to the place they believe they received anything. So they're really not in a faith battle. They haven't arrived at the place of actually believing what the Word says. We've led up to this point of Scripture to bring us to the place that we're at this point of where we believe the Word. Now, we're believing. We receive something. Now things start happening trying to move us away from what we're believing. And you must immediately, you know, as Doug Jones said in his book dealing in this subject, he said, your response must be sharp and immediate. It must be direct. You know, I hear people all the time just, you know, all they do is, well, I believe I'm healed, I believe I'm healed, I believe it. They don't ever stand on Scripture. You need to understand this. The Word of God, which brought you to faith, is the same Word that helps you maintain your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing and hearing. What you defend yourself by quoting what God said. Not quoting what you said. Quoting what God said. You got to get over there. The Scriptures, you know what? The Scriptures that formed your belief. And here's one of the things that many people have problems with. They have no Scriptures that they stand on to form their belief. They, oh, well, I believe God wants to be well, and I want to be healed. Lay hands on me and I'll be healed. Lots of people don't get anything. Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him in this. He used to minister to people as individually ministering, like not in a big meeting, you know, where you have hundreds and hundreds of people. But he used to do this. He used to ask people, what Scripture are you standing on? And he said, inevitably, most people would have to sit there and think of a while for a Scripture. And then they'd, they weren't standing on the Scriptures. They weren't standing on Scripture. They're just, I want healed. And they think because they heard healing messages It said God wants them well, but they don't realize they're not standing on nothing. They have not, they're not operating in the Word. So they have, don't have a place. You got to come over where you're standing in the Word, because we use the Word to defend our beliefs once we've received, we heal. Whatever I use to believe, to come to the place that I believe I receive, I must use those scriptures now to stand. Because opposition is going to come to you about that. You know, is God, did God give you healing? I'll guarantee the devil will bring air. Well, I'll tell you, if God gave you something, you'd sure feel it, wouldn't you? Well, you don't feel it. Well, you don't look no better. My words. You're going to have that. Well, what do? I have to know what the scripture says about that to respond to that, because my faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm quoting the scriptures, you know, is why? To maintain my faith. To maintain my faith. I have to maintain my faith. You know, and I use this from Doug Jones did a thing, and he wrote this, he said this, and I wrote it down. He said, our response, how do we respond to things that come against us? And he said about having ourselves over is believing the word. He said, our proper response to such a question would sound something like this. Now, wait a minute. My father is a giver, and a liberal one at that. And it says in James 1:5, he gives freely. And it says that in Romans 8:32. And it says he richly gives in 1 Timothy 6:17. Not only that, but he gave me the healing power of God when hands were laid on me. The same healing power that was administered to the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5:30. Was administered to my body when hands were laid on me. The same healing power that flowed out of Jesus in Luke 6:19 is in me working mightily. I believe that I have received, now it's in past tense, I believe I've received when I prayed. I believe I received when I prayed. I believe I've received it. See, you have to defend yourself, but you defend yourself on the basis of what the Word said. Because why? See, faith comes by hearing. Your faith must be maintained. Just because you started on out in faith don't mean you're going to end up. The Apostle Paul wrote and talked about people having shipwrecked faith. Well, you ain't going to have no shipwreck in faith if you were never on the ocean of faith. People get on the ocean of faith and then have a shipwreck. Why? Because they don't maintain their faith. Why? There's a storm going to come when you're out there on the sea. But the only way you maintain in the storm is through the Word of God. You maintain by continually confessing what anything that comes against that. Sometimes people will come and say something. You've got to learn to respond. Well, I don't want to cause a problem. They just don't understand. Too bad. If something's wearing at my faith, I don't care if they get mad, go home, and don't talk to me again. I'm going to get well in spite of their idiocy. But no, so many people, you know what, they're so weak, and they just, oh, they want everybody to like them and everybody to pat me and say, oh, you're wonderful, you're such nice, and you're going to be my friend, and you won't be my friend if I tell you the truth. If I speak out this kind of stuff, you're going to think I'm a nut, and you won't be my friend. I've had some other Christians, I've just stopped and said, look, I don't believe a thing you're saying. This is what the Bible says. Why? Because I'm trying to maintain faith, and I ain't letting the devil come and bring some Christian to me who maybe be ignorant, but don't know it, but they're being used by the devil to come and bring their unbelief to try to destroy my faith from where I'm standing. You got to maintain your faith. You got to speak the word, say the word. So, but we have to vocalize our belief. That's a hugely important thing. We must continually vocalize our belief, what we believe we receive. And so continually do that. Over the years, people have gotten into all kinds of things and all kinds of things about confession of different things. Instead of just confessing what the Word says, you know, the fact that I'm healed. I've heard people, you know, they're always confessing about their body and they're saying all these different things. But really, it's confessing and believing what the Word says, because that was what maintains your faith. Saying, but the Word says this, this is what I believe. And I want to, it's a very familiar, we've talked some about it before, but we want to go back over to it and look in the instant of it, because we see it in Jesus. If Jesus was a man, we want to go to Luke 4. Luke the 4th chapter. And we're going to see with Jesus, because Jesus had to maintain his belief also. It wasn't any different. I don't know why people think that Jesus, you know, just walked around and he didn't have to do anything. But Jesus, Satan came in opposition against him. The beginning of his ministry, Jesus started off, he was baptized by John, the Holy Ghost came on him. And the next thing you know, he's out, the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. His whole thing is he's going to go through a temptation. Jesus is going to go out and now practice things from the Scripture. You're going to find this. You're going to have to practice things from the Scripture. You know, when you go out here, and you know, you're going to be tempted. Don't think you're going to believe God for healing and not be tempted. You're going to be tempted. People are nonsense if they don't think they're going to. I mean, devil's going to tempt you to stay sick. And many people fall for it. And they can't figure it out. They don't realize what they think, because, you know, they were in a service, had hands laid over them, they even felt the power of God. Oh, they even felt better at the service and that stuff. Symptom starts to come back and they quit. They just turn, well, I just don't understand. They don't realize that, you know, you're in a battle, but you do. You have the good fight of faith. You see, keep the word in your mouth. Now, I'm going to go chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit to the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. You know, people always deal with this temptation stuff and they act like Jesus, one day the devil showed up while he was out there and talked to him about something. What did we just read? It said, how many days was he tempted? By who? Oh, everybody act like he went out there and one day the devil showed up. The devil was on his back for 40 days. I'm going to tell you what, I have been in the wilderness and I've had the devil on my back, it seems, sometime for longer than 40 days. Standing and confessing the word. Sometimes it's like that. You know, sometimes, you know, when the Lord, when I start off as a Christian, just think, I start off as a young Christian and the Lord would not allow me to have somebody else lay hands on me. Stuff. He said, you have to learn to stand by yourself. You got to learn to stand on your own. You got to learn to do this. I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't easy. But number one, God wouldn't have told me to do it if I couldn't do it. You know, if I didn't have the ability to do that, he had never said that. That would have been the stupidest thing in the world. He'd have destroyed me doing it. He knew I could do it. But you know, it wasn't fun and easy. I mean, the outcome is good. It's sort of like learning. Some things aren't fun to do to learn how to do. But once you learn how to do them, it's like, oh, wow. You know, you're really glad you figured, you worked through that thing. Well, I'm really glad I learned to work through that thing. But it wasn't fun at the time. I mean, sometimes, man, I'm going to tell you what, under pressure. I mean, I was under some pressure at times. And I mean, God put me under things sometimes and put me in positions to believe God, believe him for certain things. And it wasn't easy. It was not easy. And I knew, man, we had some battles. I mean, I had some battles. I mean, life or death battles in our family. I'm standing on faith. I'm believing for divine healing. And 99.9% of Christians that would go through what I did would have never even considered standing for divine healing. They would have went to the doctor. And I'm talking about dealing with my family members and people could have died. But I knew what God, I knew inside of me I had the thing, and I knew God was working with me, and I'm going to stand in. But you know what? In the flesh, it ain't easy. It ain't easy to do. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't go to other people about it because there aren't other people to be on your side. The other people can't be on your side sometimes. Sometimes you're in a battle. It is always wonderful when you can find people to be on your side. That's always good. It's nice to find people. I don't care. When you're in a faith fight, it's wonderful when you have people who can stand with you and stand at the where you're standing in faith. And that's good. But sometimes you just can't. Fine, there's not somebody at that place. And you'll have to stand. And so we find with Jesus, 40 days, tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, it says he ate nothing. And afterwards, when he had ended, he was hungry. He said, I think 40 days he didn't eat nothing. Now, it isn't a matter of the devil bugged you. Can you imagine how his flesh was yelling? No lunch for 40 days. Man, most people, they can't take lunch away for a day. I want you to think about this. Now, who was he led by to do this? The devil? He wasn't led by. The Holy Spirit sent him out there on a fast for 40 days. The Holy Spirit did it. knowing this, that the devil was going to be on his back. He sent him out there for this purpose. In other words, to be tested. He's out. This is a test. Well, we're going to find out. How do I stand against the devil coming against me, trying to stop me from doing the will of God? And understand this. Jesus was just anointed by the Holy Ghost by John. The Bible tells us what? He was anointed. What was he anointed? Remember over in Acts it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were pressed of the devil because God was with him. What's the devil trying to stop? The devil's trying to stop this ministry. The devil don't want Jesus walking in that anointing. It will stop his oppression on people. Now the devil is going to come against him. Why? To stop him. God put him out there. You deal with this stuff now. You don't wait and go off and start ministering to deal with it, because I'll tell you what, you'll fall and fail. There's many things God wants to put people through tests. You know, isn't it interesting? You know, I was like saying, well, all the testing we did in school, you know, they never gave us the diploma, then they gave us a test, did they? See, most people want the diploma. They want the thing without the test. They don't want to go through tests to get the diploma. They just want to do it exactly opposite. You know, it's like when I was in the service in electronics, we'd have to go through in our training, and you'd have to have certain training exercises on equipment that wasn't working. You had to go and prove that you could fix stuff. And you know what? You didn't graduate till you learned how to fix it. You didn't graduate. Now, most people, no, I want to graduate. I want to, you know, I had 3 courses on this thing, you know, and I ain't had no test yet. I don't know if I know a thing. I'm going to run out there and do it. See, this is what our education system don't work today. They don't want anybody to go through any tests. Oh, you know, if you get the wrong answer, you still get an A. It don't matter. You just, you know. And people don't go through tests. They never learn anything. And then they get out there. Many Christians are the same way. They don't want to face any kind of hardship. They don't want to face anything. You have to learn to face these, because the devil, it isn't God trying to stop you. The enemy is in this earth, if you ain't noticed. And I'm going to tell you what. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. The devil's coming against you. The more spiritual you get, the more he's going to want to stop you. He don't care about the guy who don't know nothing. He can't do nothing to him. But if you want to develop spiritually, the devil is going to put a bullseye target on you. But I'm going to tell you what, you can put one on him if you understand what to do. And he don't like being the target. You thought you didn't like being the target. His arrogance and self-will, he hates it terrible when he knows that you know you got him. And you do. He's been a defeated foe. He'll lie and tell you how big he is and all he can do. He'll do all those things. He's a defeated foe. He's been licked. The word says you can resist the devil. He says he'll run from you when you resist him. He'll run. He said you resist him. He didn't say you had to beat him down with a baseball bat. He said if you resist him, he runs. One translation says he flees as in terror. The devil's downright scared of you. If you don't know that, he's going to lick you. Jesus went out. Now I want to say, this is where Jesus is at. Now, God never told me to go on a 40-day fast. He's never done that. I haven't been praying for one either. I haven't been praying for a 40-day fast. Have you? Have you guys been? No. But there's nothing about fasting and praying could do everybody some good. It is just a matter of bringing our flesh under. But this is what he was led by the Spirit to go do this. Now, in other words, Jesus is in a horrendous battle. He's in a battle, and he's in a fight. So, how does he respond to it? How does he maintain? He has to maintain his faith. Understand? He's a man, just like you and I are men. What he does is the same things we have to do to maintain. In other words, he could have never asked us to do what he did if he wasn't us, like us. He is. So we have this thing that shows us how he maintained. So it says he's hungry. 40 days, he said it ended, he was hungry. So in other words, the devil, what we have is really dealing on the areas of the last temptations of Jesus. But the devil's been bugging him the whole time he's been out there. Like this is... This is day 40, and in other words, there's been 39 days of the devil bugging him every day, you know? So, But his response, and we have what he, so we can look at what Jesus did and his response to it. We have this specifically, and this is such an important thing of his responses. So he says, the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now look what it said. He was 40 days, and what it says, he was hungry. Now, I can imagine he was real hungry. Now, they say about this in a 40-day fast. There's people have gone on them, and I don't know if it's true or not. I've never been on them. I just what people's word says. I've heard people say that after you fast for a certain period, a long period of time, that after a while you don't want to eat. But that's not scripturally what it says here. It says he was a 40 days. He's still hungry. Now, understand, what is this temptation? I don't know that the Lord said to him, fast for 40 days. We don't know that. We just know this, that he had been fasting 40 days, that he did. But see, what did the devil do coming? The devil tries to touch him in his flesh. First, he tries to touch him in his flesh. You're hungry. Why don't you break this fast? You turn rocks into food. You know what? He could have. I'm going to tell you what he could. Jesus would have had the faith to do that. Lots of things we don't do, we need to understand, we aren't able to accomplish because we aren't a place of faith. I don't know about you. My faith in areas is not, can't do certain things, but it could. He said to him, look, devil said, if you're the Son of God, command the stones to become bread. You know, Jesus was the Son of God, but he's not operating as the Son of God. He is tempting him to step out of his office where he's supposed to stand to walk as a man. He says, why don't you operate like God? See, Satan's trying to get him to mess this up. Your flesh is hungry over here. Why don't you act like God and give it what it wants? So what is it doing? This is what Jesus' response to him. Jesus' response is concerning God. He says, Jesus answered and said, it is written. Now what's Jesus going to do? Jesus is going to talk to him about the word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, look, I'm not being sustained out here just by because I would have food or didn't have food. I'm being sustained by the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God is also the power of God. In other words, I have more power than just food working in my body. I have more. And see, he speaks to him. In other words, the Lord said to me this years ago about this. The devil tried to get him to break the fast. God called him to do something, and the devil will try to come and get you to break what God called you to do. Oh, well, okay, I've done this long enough. No. Jesus stops and says, hey, hold it. This is written. I'm gonna obey God in this thing. This thing ain't about bread. It's about the Word of God. I don't live alone by that. In other words, the devil's trying to get him to start to take control. You take control. You start determining how long you're going to stay out here and do this. You determine. No, God's going to determine. So he's speaking the word. So what his response, what? Is by the word of God. See, what's he doing to himself? Is he just, he's telling Satan what the word of God says, but he's also, it is of no avail unless he believes it. You see, he's fortifying his faith. He's saying what the word, hold it. I don't live, the word of God says this, I don't live by bread alone. In other words, eating food is not going to be the top priority. Eating food right now is not the top priority here. Eating food. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In other words, what's sustaining me out here and doing what I'm doing is the word of God. In other words, if it wouldn't be the word of God, I'd been acquit a long time ago. He's telling the devil, devil, you're not moving me off. I'm in obedience to God. I'm obeying what my Father wants me to do. And I'm not going to let my flesh and your temptation to my flesh lead me to quit obeying God. That's what he's doing here. See, he's trying to get him to disobey God. He's trying to get him to start take over. He determines the fast. He determines what goes on. He's not going to do it. And he quotes the word. The word, faith comes by hearing, by the word. It isn't only an opposition to Satan, what Satan's doing. It's fortifying his faith to continue to stand. I'm not moving. So his response to the temptation. Did he wait till the devil tempted him 487 times and then he said something? No, he immediately responded to him and the devil said something to him about it. He immediately responded with the word of God. See, that's why when you're standing in an area of faith, you're standing. Know what the Word of God says about you standing in that area that you're believing. Know what the Bible says. Have scriptures that you stop and say, no, the Word says this because thoughts are going to come. The devil's going to say something. Something's going to come. Your flesh is going to rise up on you and say, it's lunchtime! Sure, that happened. Okay, so it responded. Well, then the devil did something. Now look, now we have a supernatural event takes place here. I don't think the devil can't do some supernatural things, but it doesn't. He says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This is a very supernatural thing. Number one, there is no mountain, natural mountain in the earth that you could go on to see all the kingdoms of the earth, even at that time. You know, if there had been two kingdoms and they were down there. But he's showing them. Now, let me say, Jesus is out in the wilderness down there in Judea. Understand this. He's down there in Judea. He can't see Rome from a mountain in Jerusalem. This is supernatural. And he shows them what in a moment of time. This is a supernatural manifestation. A supernatural. This is not a natural thing that's happening here. See, you could get really moved because of supernatural things that happen. I will guarantee you. You know what this is taking place? It's like a vision. I've had visions where, man, things are just as real, look just as real. But you need to know your vision. This is the devil giving a vision. The devil gave a vision. See, your vision's got to be judged by the Word of God. You've got to be judged. Everything. The devil has misled many Christians over visions and over things said. Well, God said this to me. I've had people come to me and say, God said certain things to them. I said, well, he could have said that. This is what the Bible says about it. They get mad at you. I heard from God. They go ahead and go do their stuff and end up in trouble and problems. And they don't judge it by the Word of God. Well, the devil can talk too. Well, it says, and the devil said to him, now after he took it, the devil says this, all this authority I will give you in their glory. I'm going to give this to you for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Now understand this. People say, well, the devil couldn't give him that. Yes, he could. The devil's a god of this world, and he's a god of this world system. He's been controlling things. He tells Jesus, these things were delivered to me. Well, how'd they get delivered to him? Through Adam. When Adam sinned, he delivered the devil over to the authority of the devil. That's why most of the kingdoms of this world, man, act like hell. That's what they're following. Well, but we see this, but his temptation is this. In other words, now he's going to reach to Jesus' vanity. See, there's one thing is you need to understand this. You and I have human ego about things, and you have to learn to, you know, because sometimes, you know, boy, somebody, people can come and offer you things that sound out wonderful, but it'll be to your ruin. Sometimes people are going to go blow up you. Look, you come over, I'll tell you what. You come in here and you join up with me, and I'll tell you what, you'll be the next best thing to slice bread. Boy, you come over here and you do this. You know? But he has to follow God. But see, Jesus, knowing the Word, he said, therefore, if you worship before me, all will be yours. You get everything. You just worship me. Wow. Here's the thought of most Christians. Well, if he gives it to me, then I can just do what I want with you. Oh, I'll rule it. I'll show him. He's still boss. He's still boss. And number one, I done read the book. It says this. He's the father of all lies. He'll say, I'll give it to you, and he'll give it to you. The shaft. That's why. He gets you disobedience and into sin. What's going to happen to you? The wages of sin is death. So Jesus run. And Jesus, what is it? And Jesus answered and thought about this. He answered and said, get behind me, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall worship. This sounds like a wonderful temptation. You know, lots of kinds of things go along. You know, people today, you know, I've seen people, man, they just want to have big ministry, big things, big stuff. You know, there ain't nothing matter having something big, but the whole thing of it is why do you want it? Because it could be the thing that turn around and mess your whole life up. Because it's all out here we see today. You know, as soon as things get big and people get some power, it ruins most people. Most people are ruined by power. They're ruined by it. And so, Jesus didn't get ruined by power. he was tested on the power issue. He did well. So it says, now, here again, we have a supernatural thing. Now, understand, Jesus is out here in a wilderness, so none of this is from a natural standpoint. It says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Now, understand, look, Satan took it. This is all supernatural. Man, most people had this kind of stuff happen to them. You wouldn't see it written in a book in these short things. They'd have a whole volume of books they'd be selling on their temptation. They'd have a volume of books how they did all this stuff and in the spirit about all these translated from place to place. And wouldn't they? They'd be using it to make money, good God. Look, at, you see this invented happen? God gives it this thing in the book. The whole point of it is to learn what to do. See, men blow everything out. You let people have a vision and madly. You know, I often thought about Brother Hagin and all the visions that he had and the revelations. You know, he wrote a book, I believe, in visions. It's about this thick. Vision after vision he had. Most people, they had one vision. They got a book this thick. Yeah, you let one of these guys have a vision. I'm going to tell you what they're going to. They wouldn't tell anybody what. You got to buy the book to hear it. And the book is, you know, $795. You know, and all the money's going for good use. We're going to be. And if you want me to sign another $100, I'll sign it for you. I put my autograph in the book. But you ever think about that? You know, God didn't, you know, it's what the whole thing of this point of these things going on is the point that Jesus is not trying, he's not, God will not magnify the devil. He hasn't magnified what the devil did, he will magnify. Yet they're supernatural events, aren't they? How does all of a sudden, in an instant of time, he's standing on the pinnacle of the temple? Well, the temple didn't have like a pinnacle, like a point, like we'd think. See, a lot of people think the temple was a big building, and actually the temple area where the holies of holies was, the holy place and the holies of holies was, it actually had a flat roof. So he took him up there and stood and said, you know, take a leap. I was wondering, this must have been a thing sort of in the spirit, because I would think people would have saw them standing up there, you know. Jesus and the devil. But we don't have any. So he doesn't go into any elaboration about this thing at all. But it's response. Now understand this. What does the devil do in this instant? The devil comes along. First the devil used the fact that he was the Son of God. Then he took him out there and he tells him, look, all these kingdoms were given to me. If you just worship me, I'll give you all this stuff. Now this one here, he comes along and he uses the word. He takes the word itself and uses the word to try to tempt Jesus through the word. Look what he says to him. He took him up there. He said, now, listen what's going on. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Look, for it is written. Now, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. See, what's he do? He took scriptures. He used actual scriptures. But he's using them what? To try to get Jesus to do something. You know, in Jesus' response, he says, and Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt. In other words, it's written, it was said. This is what's said. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus recognized, because of his understanding of the Word of God, he recognized misused scripture. The devil says, well, okay, you're saying, go throw yourself off here. Go ahead, throw yourself down. Jesus is operating as a man. You know what? If God, now I'm serious. If Jesus, literally this thing happened, Jesus stands there and jumps down on there, he's going to hit the pavement. Why? Because he's not acting in line with the Word of God. You don't tempt God. Just because God promised to protect me, but I don't go out and try to put myself in a dangerous position. It's like these snake handlers, you know. they get out here and they're going to handle snakes because, you know, we can handle snakes. You know, not long ago, in fact, it was the beginning of this year, or was it toward the end of last year, one of the ministers down there in Georgia, a big name guy, died. Snake bite. He got bitten it's funny because, you know, I found this out when we lived in Oklahoma about rattlesnakes, because we went one time to one of these rattlesnake things they catch rattlesnakes. And we found this out. You know, these guys would go in, they'd fool around with rattlesnakes and do stuff to them and all that stuff. But we found out that they do that in the spring of the year, because that's when they go out and catch all these rattlesnakes. They're just coming out. They've been hibernating over the winter. They're really hungry and they're sluggish. They can't strike very fast in there. And they mess with them when they do that. We found this out, how this works. Also, we found this out. The larger snakes in venom isn't as strong as the babies. If you get a baby snake, very powerful venom. And I found this out. They don't go around messing with the baby snakes. You get these snake handlers, they're always doing this thing about, you get the biggest one out. Here, you can have the biggest snake. Well, you're better off with the biggest one than you are with the little one. Go ahead and tell someone, you get some baby ones, you play with this, you know. But see, people do it. But the whole thing is, there are people end up dying from these things. Why? Well, they don't see themselves. But this is exactly what Jesus, you don't tempt God. God said he'd take care of you. The Apostle Paul didn't go around handling snakes. He got bit by a snake on the island of Malta. He was got some wood to put on a fire, and a snake bit him. Was in it. A viper. Well, the viper that he get bit, that kind of viper, they will kill you. That'll kill you stuff. That's called kill you viper. And that type of viper, you'll die. It's like I said, you'd swell up. Your body would swell up and you'd die painfully. It ain't pretty. And nothing happened to Paul. Well, that was God's protection, but he wasn't around looking for snakes to handle. And so we need to understand this is what Jesus is talking about. He said, you don't tempt God. It wasn't the fact that Jesus wouldn't think that God would protect him. If Jesus was on the roof and accidentally slipped and fall, he could believe God would take care of him. But to go up and tempt God, he didn't. But each time his response was according to the word of God. It says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. In other words, he didn't leave him forever. The devil's going to come around. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin said, a guy come up one time and pray and said, would you pray for me? The devil will never bother me. And he says, why? Do you want me to pray for you to die? He said, that's the only way. The devil's never going to bother you. Because as long as you're here in this earth. But the devil was like, see, the devil saw this as an opportune time. Really, it's always like Randy Greer says this. Randy Greer talks about this incident with Jesus. And he said, you know, people think that God was sicking the devil on Jesus. And he said, it wasn't that. He said, God was sicking Jesus on the devil. That's what's going on here. God's sick. And that's what it is. The test was about enforcing Satan's defeat. The word of God, the power of the word of God will enforce Satan's defeat. It'll do it. Now just think about this. Satan had the crucifixion and stuff, and the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus hadn't taken place. Yet look at the power of the word of God over Satan. Look at the power. Well, how much does it have on the other side? Dear God. With a defeated foe, with his weapon of death, the fear of death removed. See, saints have to get over this. But as we see Jesus' response, he responded what the word said. He also was bold about his response. He was bold concerning his response. And so he spoke, he confessed what God's word said. And really, it was as much for him as it was toward Satan. As a fact, he's reinforcing his faith or his belief also. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. He is making a stand on something. He's enforcing what he's standing. It gives him the ability to resist what the devil's doing. And at the same time, it's reinforcing his confidence in God. And so we need to do that. And so when we're under temptation, we need to do the same kinds of things. Doing the same kinds of stuff. I'm gonna quick go through this. One of the things that we need to learn to do, and especially once we hit the area we believe receive, and I want to talk about this some because this is so important. Here's an area again where people miss it terribly. You know, as I had made statements before about this, we have Thanksgiving coming up, most people think of, when they think of thanking God, they think about past tense thanking God, what he did. You know, thank God for the food we have to eat. Thank God for a house to live in. Thank God, you know, and all. Hey, that's good. Thank God for things. But we're going to talk about thanking God by faith. Thanking God for the past things are all things seen, all things, we're dealing with the seen part. We're dealing with those things. There's nothing wrong. There's things our faith may have accomplished, and we thank God that he did those things for us. That's good. They're achievements of faith. But the most powerful thanksgiving is thanksgiving by faith, speaking to the future. Most people are never thankful about the future because they have no faith to even believe about the future. They have no faith. If you don't understand thanksgiving, you're always going to be weak in faith in this area of thanksgiving. Because when you receive from God, it's just like when hands are laid on people, or we believe we receive, we must immediately begin to operate in the area of thanksgiving. Start thanking God that we believed we received it. You thank him. You know, just from an etiquette standpoint, we need to operate in the area. If you believe God gave you something, the proper thing to do is respond by thanking him for doing it. If you don't thank him, you have no faith you got anything. You don't believe. If you believed you got it, you'd say thank you. This is why most people don't believe they got it. This is why, is when we're prayed for, we need to, as soon as we're prayed for and hands are laid on us, we should be saying something. We should be speaking with our mouth, and people aren't. People don't follow Scripture. They don't follow Scripture. They follow, well, I'll thank God, and I'll say, oh, people, oh, I'm so thankful, you know, God healed me and that stuff. They never said none of that till after something showed up. And then, oh, I want to thank God. But they aren't. There was no thanksgiving of faith. They weren't thanking God, believing they received something until they saw something or felt something. Then I'll be thankful to God. Well, see, that's not really, there's no faith involved in that. And so, thankfulness is, we want to be grateful for what the Father is given us. And if we believe he has given us something, even though we don't feel it or see it, if his word says he has, then we need to thank God for doing that. I do all the time thank God for things. I probably do more thanking. In fact, I guarantee you, I do more thanking of God for what I believe he's going to do than I do after the fact. I do more on the other side, on the side of faith. If I thanked him over here for it, I don't have to go through no big rigmarole when it shows up. I've already been thanking him for it. The reason people make such a big rigmarole after is because they had no faith beforehand. You know. I had a person one time ask me a certain thing I was believing for, and it came to pass. And they said, what's wrong? They said, you don't seem very excited. And I said to him, I said, well, my God, I said, I've known for a long time this is going to happen. I've been thanking God for taking this place down. I said, I always knew it was coming to pass. Why should I be acting like some kind of, like I didn't, like, oh my God, it showed up. That's mostly unbelief. It don't surprise me I'd get healed. I believe and thank God for it before it ever showed up. I've already done my thanking. But see, most people are always on the unbelief side. They only believe, they get into the thanksgiving and stuff on the other side. Now I'll show you scripturally. Is number one. So we want to, at the time, we should begin to thank God. That is one thing we should begin to do, because number one, that is an action of your faith. You're acting, and it's going to help you immensely if you're making confessions and thanking God for healing you, for giving you your healing and thanking him for it. Say, thank you, Lord God, for giving me my healing. I just appreciate it so much that you healed me. I always think about the lady that, a woman that Brother Hagin talked about, who was in a wheelchair. She had been for 4 years. She had arthritis so bad, she was in a wheelchair. And he had been ministering under the healing anointing. But they brought her up later on, and he said, you know, when you get really tired, he said, ministering a long time, he said the anointing begins to wane. It don't always stay on you, and people need to know that. Just because somebody has the anointing on them, you just can't keep the anointing on you all the time. It'll wear you out. The anointing. I'll tell you what, I can go ahead and preach on Sunday, be full of life up there, and I go home, and I'll tell you what, I go home, sit down in the chair, and I mean, I'll tell you what, it's like, my body's like, whew. Man, I'll tell you what, I just want to sleep. I have to fight to stay awake. After that anointing lifts, it's like, oh my God, your body's full of life with that anointing on, but that anointing wears on your body. You know, your body, you have something supernatural on you. Your body's natural. If you ain't noticed. And he talked about, this woman came and he said, look, I don't have the anointing on me, but he said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, well, we can still pray by faith. But anyhow, he got out and showed her the scriptures where it talks about Jesus taking our infirmities and boring our sicknesses. And himself took our infirmities and bore sicknesses. And he showed her that and showed her the fact that Jesus, you know, by his stripes you were healed. And he showed her those scriptures and he had him read her over and over again. And he talked about it being in the past tense. And he said, she was sitting there in that chair and she looked at him and she said, well, Jesus already healed me. And he said, yeah, he said, that's what I said to you in the beginning. She didn't get it in the beginning. He said, you're already healed. She says, well, my word, then I'm already healed. And he said, she just raised her hands in that chair. Now, she did this without somebody having to tell her. When she found out what the truth was, she started acting like it was true and just didn't sit there like a lump on a log. Well, how about that? Jesus healed me. She raised her hand and said, Jesus, Brother Hagin said this. She raised her hand and says, Jesus, I just want to thank you for healing me. I'm so glad I don't have to be in this wheelchair anymore. He said she hadn't had no proof she had anything. She was stuck in that chair. He said she's sitting there, but she's thanking Jesus she's healed. She's thanking Jesus that she don't have to be in that chair anymore. That she's complete. Oh, Jesus, thank you so. And she said she sat there for the longest time just thanking. Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad. Man, I'd love to run into somebody like that sometime. Oh, those people, they come, they'll lay hands on them, and they'll just go back and sit in their seat. You know what I mean? She's there thanking God she's healed. And then he said, I just looked at her and said, well, ma'am, you're healed. Why don't you just get up in the name of Jesus? And he said she pushed herself up in that wheelchair and just walked right at him. All she said, she believed a word. And then Kenneth Hagin said, then these people went out and began to lie about me. They said, that Hagin guy down there healed a woman and she walked out of her wheelchair. He said, ain't no such thing ever happened. He said, I never did nothing. Just gave her the word of God. He said, I never did anything. She believed the word and was healed. Hallelujah. So, but her thanksgiving, that was faith. She is talking her faith. She's thanking God she got something without feeling. And that's, you have to operate in that area. I want to read you here. What it says here in Philippians. Philippians, we know these scriptures. Philippians, the fourth chapter, and in verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. It said, don't rejoice. He didn't say rejoice. You had to rejoice in your sickness or rejoice in your problem. He said, rejoice in the Lord. You're always rejoicing in the Lord. See, that's faith. He said, what? Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Now, that word gentleness there, that really means a graciousness or forbearance, you know. And so let that be known to everybody. And then look what he says here. But he says, be anxious for nothing. Or what does it say? Be anxious. Or we, with the word anxious, we don't use the word anxious, but we read just to worry. Don't worry about a thing. You're not supposed to worry about anything. Listen to what it says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. What does it say? Prayer and supplication. Praying, in other words, when you're praying, what do you do? Don't worry. Now, when we talk about prayer, praying what? Oh, God, do something. Oh, God, help me. That ain't praying, that's begging. Prayer, he's talking about praying the prayer of faith. You pray, prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. At the time you're praying, you're supposed to be thanking. Why would you be thanking? People are always, well, yeah, thank God he did this for me. That's not what it's talking about here. This is at the time that you're praying, you're supposed to be thanking. Thanking him what? That he's doing what you're asking. You're supposed to, that's faith. That's faith. Most people, this is why in the church world today, we don't have much, they don't pay much attention anymore to Thanksgiving. Because the church don't know nothing about Thanksgiving. They ain't got a clue what it is about it. They think clues about, oh, thanking God, you know, that we're here today. Thank you, you know, that we just have enough to eat. Thank you, we just have, oh, thank you. That's their thankfulness. That's as far as thankfulness. They know nothing about thankfulness of faith. They hardly know if God's going to do anything for America. Or, you know what? There's probably going down the tube, and who knows? Oh, my God, you know, they can't believe for tomorrow about nothing. They don't know about this thanksgiving that goes with faith, of thanking God. At the time that you're praying, you're supposed to be thankful. Why? God's answering my prayer. God is doing what I have asked. John wrote and said, if you ask anything according to my will, he says, you know that I hear you. And if you know that I hear you, then you know that you have the request that you made. Well, wouldn't you be thankful? If I knew God heard me and He gave it to me, there's only one response. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. And so, doing that, thankfulness is a powerful tool to maintaining your faith. Every time you think about it, the devil will tell you, you didn't get healed, say, no, excuse me, devil, listen to this. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you for giving me healing power. Thank you that it's working in my body. Hallelujah! Give that one to the devil instead of, yeah, well, I'll tell you, I still do feel pretty much pain. I still do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess I better start praying and asking God. Now, I know He helped me, but now we got to pray for my whole healing now. So, in other words, with thanksgiving, he says to this. What? Now, like what he said, let your requests be made known to God. At the time you're requesting, you're supposed to be thanking. Isn't that what it's saying here? It don't say, after you're done praying, and your prayers are answered, and everything's nice, and everything's good, then. Now, I'm going to show you this, because if you don't do this, you will not have the following. It will not work for you. Because it says here, make your request known, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will never guard your heart and mind if you're praying and ain't thankful that God's going to do it for you. Peace ain't going to, because you ain't going to think you got nothing. You ain't going to be at peace at all. This is why people say, well, I just have no peace about this. Well, you ain't going to have peace about it. You don't ever believe nothing. You have never thankfulness. I'll tell you what, your mind, your believing and saying the right stuff is guards your mind. God can guard your mind, but He can't guard your mind if you keep doing the wrong stuff. He can't guard your mind or your heart when you're doing it wrong. You can't let the devil in and keep the devil out. His thoughts will try to come. And how do? You stay thankful. When you pray, you're thankful. Hallelujah. If you want to get God's, the peace of God to dominate you, you got to do the things that concerning the peace of God and what maintains the peace of God. You got to do that. At the time that you pray, thank God I got my healing. You know, Kenneth Hagin Jr. used to tell us about, you know, their family. He said, when we prayed as a family and agreed on something, he said, we put it on the refrigerator, what we believe God for, and put on there, we believe God has done this certain thing for us. He said, nobody ever brought it up in prayer again or ever talked about it again other than that when you saw that thing, you said, thank you, Lord God, for doing that for us. Thank you for doing it. He said, you never took it to prayer again. When anybody ever comes to me and tells me, I'm believing God for healing, I'm believing and praying, I know this, they ain't believing for nothing. Why are you praying? What would you be praying about if you believe? Once you believed you received it, why on earth would you be praying about it again? The only reason you're praying about it is because you don't believe you got nothing. Why would you be talking to God about giving it to you if you already said you believed He gave it to you? I mean, that's nonsense. People need to wake up. And this is why I think, people love religious rituals. They love to hear themselves say, I'm a praying. Well, yeah, well, what are you praying about? Well, as much unbelief as I can. We're praying as much unbelief as possible. You don't pray about it. Once you believe, you receive it. Your prayer to God is only a thanksgiving prayer. That's what it should be. Wow, praise God. Lord, are you going to talk to Him about it? It's glory to God, Father. I just want to remind you today, Lord God, of how thankful I am. Hallelujah, that you gave me my healing. I just want to let you know how much I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for healing me. You know, I had an attack here just recently. I don't have many along those lines. I had an attack. And I'll tell you what, the peace of God dominated me the whole time. I had nothing but peace that passes all understanding, guarding my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's all I had. I didn't have anything else. Is Ed so smart? No. I just did what the Bible said. The Bible said, I just, thank you, Lord. Once I confessed and believed I received my healing, there was nothing doing after that time, hallelujah, that nothing but came out of my mouth other than, it's well, hallelujah. I don't care what seemed like was going on in my body. Ain't nothing came out of my mouth. I'll tell you what. Until morning come, Ed was walking around all right. Hallelujah. And I know people have been messing with days and days on end trying to get straight. But we ain't going there. What? How do you do it? It ain't nothing special. All you do is you the Word of God. If you follow the Word, most people never follow the pattern of the Word of God. They don't ever follow that. You got to follow, especially in this area. This Thanksgiving area is huge. That's where most people miss it. I can tell when people got something by faith or whether they got it just by mercy. It's how they act when it shows up. When they act like, I know they didn't expect it and they're just so thrilled, and I know they weren't expecting this thing. God, their mercy, thank God for mercy. Maybe somebody else was able to get it for them. I don't know. But whatever, that's nice. That's good. But they, you know, you get over in the thing, you believe in, I got it now. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once I get it and it belongs to me, then I'm shouting. I'll get up, do a little dance, a little jig. And everybody will say, what on earth is he dancing about? He ain't got nothing but problems. Hallelujah. I don't believe, but that ain't what I believe. But see, when people operate by what they see, and that's what they do. See, you can't, many times people, things happen to them, you can't get a good confession out of them, you can't get a good thing said out of them. You know, they're down their mouth, they're like, oh, you know, I'm just struggling along, and I'm just, you know. You don't have to act that way. See, people get down and out. That's why, because their heart and mind is dominated by wrong thoughts. Their heart and mind is dominated. They've never grabbed a hold of the things of God to maintain them. You can be under pressure, but you don't have to live like you're on the bottom of the barrel. And people do. People act like they're on the bottom of the barrel. They act like they're living, and you can't do that and live the life of faith. You know, we don't find that Jesus went out and grumped to everybody about that 40-day fast and all he had to go through and how tough it was. First thing he did, he came out and started healing people. Hallelujah. He went and gave somebody something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we'll end there. Hallelujah this morning. Father, we just want to say thank you again this morning as we looked into your word and how delightful your word is. And Father, I just want to say thank you for teaching us these things. And Lord God, I pray for every ear that hears these. Lord God, if anybody who downloads these, listens to any of these, Father God, I pray they hear these things. Understand them. But Lord God, they aren't complicated nor hard things to do. But Father God, when we do them, I know the strength that it puts in your life, the things it does, just when we act on the word. And Lord Jesus, you said if a person hears my word and does it, he's like a person who builds his house on the rock. And Father, I know that that's true. Whenever I've acted on your word and stood on it, Lord God, Lord, I've stood through many storms just by, Lord God, because your word upholds me. It's not because I am strong, I am great. It's because you're great and your word is great and it upholds you. You can't lie, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, you were able to stand through tests and trials of life through standing on the word, then surely that same word will uphold us. I thank you, Lord God, for ears that will hear, understand, and Lord God, people who will do what the Word says so they can walk in your great blessing. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.